Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor, Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this lovely spring day?
I'm great, Tom. How are you?
Oh, I'm just living the dream. I'm happy as a warm pup. I couldn't be any better. It sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm simply stating the truth. And we have a full slate of stories in front of us this morning. I will try to restrain myself. Let's start out with Lakeview Hospital, our own Lakeview Hospital, named in the top 100 critical access hospitals in the country.
Yeah, so this is really a cool thing and a real show of respect for the hard work that's being put in at Lakeview. Lakeview Hospital is in the top 100 in the country for sort of providing excellence of care across the whole spectrum. So this measurement, there's seven in Minnesota that are in the top 100. Okay, so it's one of seven Minnesota hospitals. There are 78 critical access hospitals in Minnesota. So I'm trying to give a little perspective here. There's over 1,600 critical access hospitals in the country. So gives you some perspective. They're in the top 10%. Very, very high award of excellence. A critical access hospital is, you might think of it as, they have to achieve a certain level of designation. So it's not all rural hospitals. It's not an automatic, and it's not only rural hospitals, but it is primarily, and they have to achieve this level of designation as a key point for getting critical access that it allows for stabilization and then a transport to more intensive care kind of scenario. So, for instance, if somebody had an extreme emergency in Lake County and they were transported to Lakeview Hospital, they have the gear and the people who can get them stable and then transported to Duluth for more intense care. So that's what a critical access hospital is. And I talked to Greg Ruberg just the other day as soon as this news came out, and he said he was so pleased. He said he has been working very hard for many years to achieve this level of excellence. And and what particularly tickled him is that it goes across the board. It's not just looking at patient care. It's looking at a patient perspective, so patients weigh in on this, like the level of care they got, outcomes as well, so how well people were treated and if they had a positive outcome, like they were treated, they got better, and they were discharged. And then also, but everything really, their finances, their all of the things across the board, their staff. So it's a very comprehensive sort of honor to have. And I'm really glad that we live in a place where we have that good service.
Well, I've always believed that our little Ville is a little bit above average in a lot of different ways, and this is just manifestation of one of those, a tip of the cromer to them. And not wanting to be short shrift with them, but we do have to move on. Our next piece is talking about the idea that it is okay to ask for naloxone to prevent overdoses in Lake County.
Right. So this is an issue that I'm so pleased that there's a whole host of groups in Lake County that are working on this. Naloxone is a potentially life-saving medication that does not harm people, kind of no matter what drug they may have taken, and it's becoming more and more available to all of us. And Lake County and Wilderness Health and Lakeview Hospital have been all working together to try and get information out to the public. So Chance Lasher, who is an intern for Wilderness Health, wrote this piece with collaboration with several people to let people know it's okay to have naloxone. You can get it for free in some instances from the county. Anyone can walk in, no questions asked. You're not going to be asked, why do you want this? Or anything like that. It can save somebody's life if they've overdosed on something like a fentanyl or an opiate, that kind of thing that we have become very familiar with, unfortunately, hearing about too often.
Oh, sure. So this is a way of lifting the stigma, the red letter, so to speak, of potential drug misuse and whatever helps keep people from killing themselves. Why, I think this is good. So if you ask for naloxone, it does not mean that the men in black are going to come knocking to your door and looking for things that you don't want them to find. That's not the deal. So if
that's exactly right.
If you need it, get it. You bet. And other situations are social and best cured or addressed by social means rather than the hammer of the law here. Let's talk about
you
the youth rec space in the former Oddfellows Lodge building. You call it the Baptist Church, but I still think of it as the Oddfellows Lodge. I'm sorry, that's me.
No, that's okay. And by tagging that, you're going to identify it for other people who think of it that way as well. It's now the neighbor-to-neighbor thrift shop for a lot of people who didn't know what was in it before. It clearly was built as a hall, and then it was a church. So Katya Gordon chased the story. She's been very curious about there's a whole upstairs floor where you can, if you ever shop at the thrift shop, you might hear a thumping sound above your head, and that's because it's a gymnasium up there. She included a picture of a Taekwondo class that's being held up there. The Ministerial Association has spent a lot of effort getting that ready for use to use for recreation. And so Katya was curious. She wanted to get the word out, and you can read all about how your youth group could access that space as well.
I think that is really, really neat. You know, people don't realize just how huge that building is. It's enormous. Katya should maybe investigate what's below the part that we ordinarily see, but that would be a whole other thing. our next piece here, I just kind of clipped it a little bit, cross-generational learning with Marcia Oates and Soren van Gertz.
Sure. So that's a teaser, as we call it in the newspaper business, to a story that's on A2 this week, and that is coming from Jenna Udenberg. Jenna made a bunch of great contributions this week, and the Legos Connect Generations article has to do with youth who know how to build Lego sets. So you buy Legos, you can buy a set sort of with a theme. It could be, you know, outer space or gardening or what have you. And then they invited people, you know, over the age of 20. I'm going to guess that there was not an actual age put on it, but the idea was that this was across generations. And so that a number of the people that did participate, I'm going to say were over 50 probably. And the two groups of generations got together and built Legos together.
Well,
as neat stuff.
Oh, sure. You know, there are fewer and fewer multi-generation homesteads in the country as families scatter when the time comes, when the brood breaks up. And when I grew up, it was not unusual to have at least two, sometimes three generations in a single household. Well, to kind of address that and get younger people more accustomed to socializing with what they regard as older people, I think this is a really swell program. Hats off to Jenna for digging that up. You know, she's really an underappreciated person in our community. Our next piece here is addressing Mark Munger, who is announcing his candidacy to run against Natalie Zalesnikar.
That's right. So Mark Munger was formerly a judge in St. Louis County, and he has a storied lineage that some people may know about. I got to speak to him just this morning and confirm that he has announced for his candidacy for that seat. If people remember, just almost 2 years ago, two short years ago, not quite, Natalie Zalesnikar ousted Mary Murphy, who had been in that state representative seat that includes the sort of the most of Two Harbors and south down to Hermantown after, gosh, decades and decades. I can't remember off the top of my head how long Mary was there. But now Mark is running for that seat, and look forward to finding out more from Mark and Natalie about what they intend to do should they get the job.
Well, I think that's swell. Now, Mark Munger, I suppose he's a close relative Willard Munger. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that he is a descendant thereof.
Oh, right? Yes. So there's a little political history going on there, plus just history. John A.
Whole
another
show, Tom.
Oh, sure. The John A. Johnson School. By golly, that would be an epic story in itself to challenge Ulysses. It looks like somebody else has bought it once again, and the mystery deepens.
I'm breaking the story here, Tom.
Do it.
Interest you too as well. So the last we checked in with the John A. Johnson, the county, Lake County, had issued a letter of intent, and their lawyers had been meeting with the previous owners to buy the building. The county was going to buy the property and then figure out a deal with the city to rehab it for housing. However, in a surprise turn of events, there was a dispute. That's one of the reasons the sale didn't go through. There was a dispute of ownership, and it was in court. There were three individuals who had at one point been listed as owners or investors, and one said it was just his, and two of them said it's ours too. Well, we don't know exactly what happened, but at the end of the day, we're down to two owners who had been on the books in the beginning, and that is Alex and Michael Happ. Alex is a resident of Knife River, and I spoke to him yesterday, and he confirmed that he and his father are the owners and that they have intentions to develop that for housing, and we will see how that moves along. I think there's going to be a whole lot more to that story, Tom.
Oh, yes, there has to be more to that story. It's a little bit ambiguous when they say they're going to develop that for housing, meaning they're going to try to put new skin on the old bones, or they're going to level it and start fresh. So I guess...
Alex wasn't certain about that. He said he did tell me that he felt it was likely that the John A. Johnson would need to be torn down, demolished, because of how long it's been sitting empty.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, we've got brick biter machinery that was basically developed here in Two Harbors for turning bricks into clean rubble fill. So I'm like they did with the roundhouse. You know, maybe the John A.
Yep.
will continue to support buildings in town here after it's torn down. Who knows? I shouldn't even say torn down. That might not even happen. Anything is possible with new owners. Our next piece here is about celebrating Black History Month with a book. And this is by Marley Schumacher.
Exactly. So I gave a challenge and assignment to my interns during February, my two student interns, and we heard from Marley Schumacher for the last week in February, being Black History Month. In particular, this year's theme was celebrating African-American artists, and she chose to read a book called Salvage the Bones by an African-American woman, Jasmine Ward. And she gives a really interesting book review of that and encourages people to check it out.
Marvelous, marvelous. Now, you said you've got two interns at the Lake County Press. I'm familiar with the name Marley Schumacher. I might be familiar with the other, but I can't bring it to mind. Who is that person?
That's Amaya Grindy Fossen, and she's been writing right along for the last 2 years, just more frequently this year. And she did have a Black History Month article a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, very good. Why have I not heard her name mentioned more often in this program?
I don't know. I should get on that.
Well, yes, you should. I have a couple of books by the same Black author, and this is a more of a classic style author, I suppose, from way back, Zora Hurston Neale. And she's an excellent writer, plus an anthropologist. And I have a story of hers that's in the public domain that is really quite interesting and borderline earthy in some ways. And and it's fascinating. But I'm wandering too far afield here. I think that we've pretty much filled up our time slot, so I will say to our listeners at home out there, thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Bye, Tom.